It's great to see everyone here tonight for our Sunday night worship service. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 is where the bulk of our lesson will be coming from tonight and where we'll really start off. While you turn there, I'd like to thank the elders and Doug for allowing me to speak every once a month. I really appreciate it, and it helps me build character and build my learning as well and speaking ability. But I really appreciate the opportunity given to me to speak unto you. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21 is where we begin. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they cannot heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said unto them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Many of us have heard this story before and examined it several times. What has happened here is the disciples were called on by a young man's dad and asked them, "Could you heal my son?" The boy was possessed with a demon, and they tried desperately to heal him, but they couldn't do it. And so the father takes him to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, could you please heal my son? Day after day, he suffers from this disease, from this demon. Can you please help him out?" And in an instant, the Bible says the demon was cast out of the young boy. But what I want to focus on tonight is what happened with the disciples. Why is it, number one, the disciples were unable to heal the demon, to cast it out? And number two, they come to Jesus privately. Why is that? Because obviously the disciples were ashamed. They were embarrassed because they couldn't cast this demon out. But I want you to look at why they couldn't cast it out. And the answer is found in verses 19 and 20. And I want to read them to you once again. It said, "The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he says, 'Because of your little faith.'" Because he told them, if you had faith, it just as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Move from here to there." And that's the faith the disciples were lacking. He said, "You had little faith." But what I want to follow along with tonight is, the disciples had such small faith and they could not do it. Sure, they had seen Jesus do many miracles before. They had seen signs and wonders he had performed and seen all the great things he had done. They believed. Yes, they believed because they followed. But their faith was still yet lacking after all these times of being with Jesus. Tonight I want to focus on two people though, and two people in particular that their faith really moved the mountain set in front of them. Two people in the Bible that we read of, and one of them doesn't get looked at as much as the other. But two people that really move mountains based upon their faith and their obedience to God. The first one I want to talk about tonight is Gideon. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is a story of Gideon. I love to hear the story of Gideon. Do you remember the Israelite judge and the great warrior Gideon was instructed by God to take the land of the Midianites in Judges chapter 7? As a matter of fact, in verse 2, here's what God told Gideon. And Gideon was ready. Gideon had his army together. He had 32,000 men strong and ready to go and fight for the land that God was about to give him. But God makes a change in Gideon's agenda this day. Notice in verse 2 of Judges chapter 7, the Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Let Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" What did God just tell Gideon? God just tells Gideon, he says, "Wait just a minute. Before you rush into battle, I've got something to say to you. You don't need all these men, Gideon. As a matter of fact, we're going to go through a couple of tests and a few processes to eliminate some of these men, and you're going to take the right ones with you into battle. Therefore, Gideon was instructed to lessen the number of soldiers he was going to take into battle. Sure, he started off with 32,000 men willing to fight. 32,000 men that Gideon thought would fight for him. But God, in the end, only allowed Gideon to take 300 men. From 32,000 men to 300 men, that's all Gideon was allowed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going to battle with 300 men, you're versus thousands of Midianites? The odds don't look too good for Gideon. They're definitely not in his favor as you look at it from a worldly aspect. But you want to talk about faith that moved mountains. Gideon took those 300 men in the battle, and he won the battle. As a matter of fact, it goes on through the book of Judges saying that Gideon slew over 100,000 men with 300. It was an amazing feat that took place, and one that only could happen because of Gideon's faith. It was tested that day when God spoke to him and told him, Gideon, you're only allowed to take 300. It was definitely tested that day because Gideon might have thought, how in the world am I going to defeat the Midianites with 300 men? That cannot happen. But Gideon's attitude wasn't that. As a matter of fact, Gideon trusted in the Lord and obeyed his command, and he did as God told him. His faith was proven that day, and it worked because Gideon knew that God would take care of him. And the test that day was not the battle that Gideon fought at all, but the faith that was displayed by Gideon. Brethren, today we face a similar battle. Sure, we may be outnumbered by those who are unfaithful, those who are not Christians, those who claim to be even atheists. And we are outnumbered each day, it seems like. But do you remember what God said? And do you remember the promise that was given to us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If you're doing what God tells you, if you're being obedient, if you're obeying, if you have the faith that God tells you and you work each day at it, if God's for you, then nobody can be against you. Now, I know in this world we get sometimes very tired and we get sick, it seems like, of the things that are going on that are just not right. But the thing is, God says, take hold of your faith and keep near to Him because He's going to be with you. God will lead you through to the path of righteousness. He will lead you to the way to heaven if you stick with Him and you keep hold of your faith. Another story, one we all know, is the story of Noah. And most of us have heard this story since we were a little kid growing up, even in the living walls when we were children. And we remember Noah in Genesis chapter 6 was instructed by God to build an ark because there was going to be a worldwide flood to come about. Turn over to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And see what God saw in the eyes of men. It said, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evilly continually. Can you imagine that? Every thought of man, what God saw was evil. And as we read on, the Lord was very sorry that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I made them. But I want you to look at verse 8 though. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. One man God found, Noah. But guess what? God could use him. He knew he could use Noah for the betterment of him. God instructs Noah to build an ark to survive this worldwide flood in verses 11 through 13 of Genesis chapter 6. For decades, Noah built this ark. And you know, he never saw rain fall from the sky. Can you imagine that? Rain had never fell from the sky. And Noah was instructed to build this great, huge ark. And many people might have stopped by and said, Noah, why in the world are you building this ark? We've never seen rain. We've never seen a flood. Why do you do this? Because your God tells you to do this? Yes, that's exactly why. Noah's God told him to do this. Our God told Noah to build the ark, and he did it. In the end, Noah and his family were saved because of the faith and work that Noah had done. Noah might not have moved all of mankind into the ark that day, but he moved 7 souls besides himself, a total of 8 souls in all that were saved from the worldwide flood. Only 8 souls, you say, but guess what? There were 8 faithful souls that were saved on the ark that day. He acted upon his faith and worked to save his family. Noah knew that God would keep his promise. And we must remember again that God will always keep his promise with us. And we come to the question, can we move the mountain standing our way? Gideon did it with only 300 men, but can we do it today? And Brent, I'm here to tell you 3 things. First of all, we can move the mountains in our way if we have faith and work at it just as these men did. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Brethren, you can't have faith without works. As a matter of fact, faith without works is dead. It's what the Bible tells us. If you believe in God but do nothing to show it and do nothing to work for the kingdom, then what use are you to God? If we're not working diligently every day, then what good are we doing? We're not doing any good at all. Number 2, we can move mountains if we believe that God will never leave us. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 through 6 tells us, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man then do to me?" What can man do to me if I'm serving the God that I know created me? What can man do to me if I serve the God that will take me to heaven one day? "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Man cannot touch you spiritually if you do as God tells you. If you keep the commandments that are found in this book, if you keep God close to your heart, man cannot touch us. Sure, we might face some adversity in this world, but in the end, heaven will surely be worth it all. Number 3, we can move mountains if we only keep moving forward. Luke chapter 9, 62 says, "Jesus said to the man, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." And what he's saying is here, I've got to have people that are serving me each day, moving step by step forward towards heaven. You can't look back and serve God. No man can serve 2 masters. He either loves one or hates the other, and that's what God tells the young man here. He said, you can't look back. You got to keep looking forward and keep moving. Colossians 3:17 was just read for us, and this is our last scripture of the night. And I know our sermon has not been very long tonight, but that's fine. That is okay, because we're moving forward. And Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether it be in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That verse is so important to Christians today. Whatever you do, make sure you do it according to the will of God. And also, make sure you thank him for everything you receive. God loves his people and he rewards them each and every day. To be honest, I had a great Thanksgiving. I was able to go home and see my family. And when I look at my family, I see faithful members of God gathered together and having a great time. I counted my blessings this week. As a matter of fact, I said in Wednesday night class, and we had a speaker at Blackwater, Macedonia, and one of the blessings that become very clear to me, he spoke about when he was in college. He said, "When I was in college and Thanksgiving rolled around, I went home and I remembered the blessings I had because I ate some of the greatest food that I could ever eat." And I felt the same way this week. I've been blessed so much by a great family. And I didn't really realize it until I go to college. And I was away from my parents and missed that good food and also miss the godly standards my parents taught me each and every day. But I did remember them and had enjoyed it very much this past week. Our faith can move any mountain standing our way only if we believe and we trust in God. Tonight, it might be some of us here in this audience that seem to have lost our faith. Sometimes we get in a hustle and a bustle, and it seems like that we forget God and we forget that He is in control. And brethren, it might be someone here tonight that might needs to make a confession, that might needs the prayers of the church to get back on the right track. Maybe there'll be someone here tonight that hasn't obeyed the gospel. And I encourage you, what a great night it would be to put Christ on in baptism. If anyone needs to respond this evening, come now.